Preston.
Until I got here.
Councilor, how are you?
This will be close enough. All right, I now call the meeting of the Johnson County Board of Adjustment to order. It is 5:31. And I will begin with introductions. We'll start with staff and our county attorney.
I'm Assistant County Attorney.
Josh Bussard, Director of PDS.
Nate Mueller, Assistant Director of PDS.
Luke McClanahan, Assistant Planner.
Nancy Rockensies, Secretary.
Bill Leifers, Board Member.
Eric Christensen, Board Member.
Candy Evans, Board Member.
Perry Ross, Board Member.
And that's it, all right. I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And a motion to approve the minutes of February 20, 2019 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, both agendas approved and the minutes. Okay. I will now open the public hearing on our first application, BOA 1927722 of Mona Winters. And we'll begin with the staff report.
Thank you. This variance is located west of Solon. Here is Cottage Reserve Road, and this is in the Cottage Reserve neighborhood. The applicant is requesting the variance in order to reduce the side yard setback and enable construction of a new home on the lot. The side yard setback requirement for this property, it's zoned as RUA, Urban Residential. That's the side yard requirement is 8 feet, and the requested setback is 4 feet. So here's a closer look at that lot. It's lot 110, and the you see that the blue dashed line, that is the 8 foot side yard setback. You can see that the proposed footprint of the house would encroach into the setback. So the applicant is requesting again for a 4 foot side yard setback. I have a few more details. Now what you're seeing in this slide, the white is the flowage easement, which was established by the Army Corps of Engineers back in 1957. And as you can see, that really limits the how you can develop the lot from the front and the rear. There was also a boundary line adjustment, which was conducted back in 2017, which also reduced the lot, particularly on the side where the side yard setback variance request is occurring. So move into a little bit more detail here. So again, the request is for a 4 foot side yard setback. The property was platted as lot 110 of Cottage Reserve Lake McBride back in 1934. It's been zoned as urban residential since 1960. And there was a house that was actually sited on across both lots 110 and 109, and that was removed just a couple years ago. I already mentioned the boundary line adjustment, which reduced the lot by 0.18 acres. And the property also received an approved variance for the same side yard setback being requested today. And that approved variance occurred back in 2017. So here's a look at the Cottage Reserve neighborhood. And what you're seeing here is the pink striped lines are properties that have received approved variances. So there are 31 approved variances in the Cottage Reserve area. So that actually comes out to about 40% of the lots in this area with dwellings have received approved variances under similar circumstances. And like I mentioned, the property itself received an approved variance just 2 years ago. So moving into the hardship evaluation, which has to be established and met in order for a variance to be approved. I'll go through these criteria really quickly. So number one is the plight of the neighborhood due to unique circumstances and not to the general conditions of the neighborhood. The hardship must have been created by the ordinance and not by the applicant. and/or a predecessor entitled. A strict application of the zoning ordinance precludes the use of land for any purpose to which it is reasonably adapted, and the problem cannot be alleviated by zoning the property to another classification. So the second criteria, the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. And number three, the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used as allowed in the zone in which it is located. So from staff's evaluation of the hardship criteria, like I mentioned, the property was platted back in the 30s prior to the Army Corps obtaining that flowage easement. And that flowage easement essentially reduced the amount of land that can be built on that property. Most of that property is actually underwater. Rezoning the property to alleviate the setback being requested, it's unlikely that staff would recommend approval, and there's no other appropriate zoning categories for this property. As you saw with that neighborhood map, there are 30 other properties that have received approved variances, so approval of the requested setback here would not alter the character of the neighborhood. And again, due to the flowage easement and the boundary line adjustment, you know, three sides of the property have been reduced, you know, in terms of how it can be developed for residential purposes. So without the variance, it would be impractical or very difficult to develop without. So just to conclude, like I mentioned, the variance would allow for a 4-foot side yard setback, and the flowage easement, the boundary line adjustment, both of those are factored in here as to reducing the amount of land that can be developed. The property received an approved variance back in 2017, and approval of this variance would not consistent with past board decisions. So therefore, staff recommends approval of this application, BOA 19-27722, for a setback of 4 feet.
All right, thank you. Applicant, would the applicant like to speak on behalf of this application? Thank you.
Hello.
You state your name and address.
My name is Gina Lando. I'm with MMS Consultants. The applicant and her husband are here right now, Mona and Al Witters. They can sure speak if you'd like them to say anything, but for the most part, I'm going to represent them. As Luke did so well on his presentation, this was approved in 2017. Since then, it expired. We've been working our way through some DNR approval, core approval. That's all finished, so now we're ready to get the variance approved, hopefully again. The two homeowners on either side have both submitted letters saying that they approve of this and they're fine with this variance, as has the homeowners association. So we feel like we have the backing of all of the neighbors out there.
Okay. Any question? I guess I didn't ask about staff, but any questions for staff or?
Okay. No, thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak in favor or in opposition to this application? Yeah.
Hi, Glenn Meisner with MMS. I just wanted to maybe educate the board a little bit on Cottage Reserve, and maybe you're familiar with, but the Cottage Reserve Corporation has a wastewater system and a public well system. So we can have smaller lots. And so if you were ever worried about wastewater or drinking water, that's all taken care of. It can both the public system and just 2 years ago, we lined the entire sanitary sewer lines with a lining to protect any leakage from those lines, both in and out of the pipe. And so with that, I'd like just be some information you'd like to know what we're doing out there.
Okay. Well, something about sewers.
Thanks.
Any other questions for him? Or?
What's the setback on the other side, the west side?
So along here, the side yard setback?
Yeah. So is it 4 feet there, or
it meets the eight foot setback requirement. I don't know off the top of my head where the building would be in that setback.
Can
Can you answer that, Jim?
I'm sorry, what was the...
How close is the proposed building to the west lot?
Oh, there, yeah, it's right on the 8 foot. So it hits right, we don't go into the setback, but we're right at the 8 foot setback. On that west side.
You can pass it around.
Do you guys want to see that, or is knowing that it's at the 8 foot requirement?
Here's another one if you want to look.
I'll take the look. Since Bill has it, y'all have to look at it.
It's too late now.
It's okay if we keep one of those two copies.
Absolutely. If that's the exhibit that shows the distance, so does it show the three homes? Is that the one that she has?
Right.
Okay, so we did not actually go out and do survey work to locate the two adjacent homes. So that is why it says plus or minus the dimension on there. We just kind of did it from the aerial. But we are honoring the 8 foot side yard setback on the west side, just requesting the variance on the east side. And that aerial just kind of gives you a little bit of a, you can kind of approximate and see how that will sit.
So it looks like on the east side, it's going to be, well, I can't tell, within 8 feet of the house.
It appears from our research that adjacent home is about 4 yards, or yes, 4 feet off of their
right
side yard. And then we're 4 foot as well. So it should be approximately 8 foot between the two homes.
And they're okay with that?
They are. They submitted a letter saying that they approve of it, yes.
What about the drainage there? Is it drained down between those two houses to the lake?
Glenn, do you
yes.
know? Well, everything drains down towards the lake.
Right.
And we always set homes so the water drains away from the foundation, which would then, of course, run down the lot lines towards the lake.
Those are swale there then?
Correct. Well, yeah. I mean, the final grading, we'll have to make sure that happens as the foundation is put in.
Any other questions for her? I have a question for you, Ryan. Do we always have variances kind of have an expiration date? Is that a county policy that variances expire if not acted upon within a year or?
I know the conditional use permits do, Josh. Do you?
Yeah, so actually that is in the ordinance of expiration after.
Okay.
If not acted upon.
Yeah, if not, the use is not established.
Okay. The use is not established.
And generally speaking, that could be applying for and receiving a building permit.
Okay.
So that locks them into whatever they proposed the first time around.
Correct.
And can't change. Okay.
Yeah. The ordinance specifically spells out a 6 month time window.
No variance is valid.
All right.
And this one was a situation where they received the variance, they filed the building permit. They had floodplain approval from the DNR and the Corps, but because they're on a flow easement, they also need approval from the Corps' real estate division, which is notably more thorough in their reviews than the floodplain division. So it's actually been a year and a half to 2 years waiting on the Corps to get determination back, and then they actually had to restructure the house and realign the house based on what the Corps said in terms of what they were, well, they weren't allowed to impact that easement. So that's the reason for the delay. The original approval to
now. Okay.
All right. I move approval of.
Well, wait 1 second. Any further questions for anybody? All right. At this point, I will close the public hearing and wait for a movement for a motion.
Any more discussion?
Well, then we'll discuss after you.
Okay. I move approval of BOA 19277222 Whittier's variance.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so let's discuss. What do y'all think? So, I guess, for me, the fact that the boundary line adjustment happened in 2017, and I'm probably in a minority on this, probably not even supported by our attorney, but to me, I think if you approve a variance, I think you've said this property can't be used within the law. for me, I don't take a 6-month time. Like, if we're saying, if we said already that that property cannot be used profitably unless this variance is granted, I don't think that without any significant change in situation. So for me, that's why I would support this, because I think that
right. We did once.
It's been already been done. I don't know if you disagree with that. I know it's in our code that it would expire, that we need to seek another one. But to me, we've already made the determination that this property can't be used.
Plus 4 foot is the norm for a lot of those lots
yeah.
out there. That became the standard after the thing was raised. So
I think I would tend to support your motion, maybe with different reasons than you. Any other discussion?
No.
Ready for roll call? All right, roll call.
Leifers.
Aye.
Evans.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye. The motion carries. I got your variance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dale.
We're on to the next one. I'm now going to open the public hearing for. Do we not have a staff report for the conditional use permit?
No. Well, it's going away.
Okay. Should I open the public hearing first? I will open the public hearing for conditional use permit BOA 1927-721 of Karen Evans.
Thank you. This is a conditional use permit for a home business. It's located on the north side of Black Diamond Road, southwest, just east of, this is Eagle Avenue, southwest. And the applicant has requested to defer the application for 1 month. She was unable to attend tonight's meeting. So unless there's public comment, we have provided language for a motion to defer.
I'm going to entertain a motion to defer.
I'll make a motion to defer.
I
move to defer action and continue the public hearing on application BOA 1-19-27721 until the April 17, 2009 Board of Adjustment meeting scheduled for 5:30 p.m. in this room.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, I will carry this public hearing open. Defer this public hearing.
We typically don't gavel when we're continuing a public hearing, but you actually said that you are going to continue it as
okay.
you gavel.
That's
so
okay.
I think that's
stress
that indicates
apologize.
The intent and the sense of the board and what you're doing. So.
Appreciate your charitable breathing on mine.
And then you can gavel to open the next act.
We'll do so. All right. I will now open the public hearing for variance application BOA 27723 of Hawkeye Ready Mix. And we will begin with the staff report. Ready, Dave.
Thank you. So, if you guys could all take off your imaginary zoning Board of Adjustment hats and put on your imaginary floodplain Board of Adjustment hats, that's what we're going to do here. So, this is a variance from the floodplain requirements. And our ordinance authorizes this board to make considerations of variance the same way you do for zoning applications. So we're going to have different review criteria, a little bit different situation. There's also obviously a different baseline set of facts that we'll kind of need to work through to get you guys up to speed on this. So the request, simply put, is to allow a structure to be built at an elevation below the required protection elevation within the special flood hazard zone, which is also known as the 100-year flood. This property is in an industrial subdivision on the west side of Klein Road, which is just off Deer Creek Road, just southwest of the city of Coralville. So you can see on the map here, it's actually adjacent to the city of Coralville, kind of south of Clear Creek, south of Highway 6, just west of the Coral Ridge Mall and the 965 on-ramp interchange. This is for an existing hopper pit, which is associated with a concrete ready-mix plant. So it's a pit in the ground where they dump their mixed aggregate that comes out of the quarry, and it sorts out the larger stone from the smaller stone from the sand, and then a conveyor belt lifts the sand out of the bottom of the pit into their concrete batch plant, which is on the same parcel. So here's a close-in shot of the parcel in question. What we're looking at here is this long stretch hopper pit. It's
this is the outline of the building permit. It's actually entirely below ground. So the trucks pull up, they dump the aggregate onto this pit. It gets sifted down through the 16 feet of the pit, and then there's a conveyor belt running from this office building to the batch plant that pulls that up out of the pit. And here we can see the floodplain map overlaid on the property. So this word Coralville to the top on the north side of this road. Further north from there is Clear Creek. That's the source of the flooding at this property. When Clear Creek comes out of its banks during what's called a base flood, the 100-year flood, a flood with 1% chance of happening in a given year. It's referred to a lot of different ways. Theoretically, the water is going to cover everything shown in green. When it's a big flood and we have a 500-year flood, it will also cover that orange area, in theory. This area shown in green is referred to as a special flood hazard area, SFHA, is how it's abbreviated throughout the rest of this presentation. And the base flood is a flood that will cover the special flood hazard area. We'll cover the green area. And as we can see here, the elevation of that flood is 673 feet above sea level. So we're going to be using numbers between 660 and 680 here. That's all relative to sea level. When you get out there, it's, you know, the difference of 10 or 20 feet when you're on site. So the important thing about this site is that there was fill placed on the property in the 90s when they were constructing the Coral Ridge Mall. The spoilage that came out of that site as they graded and leveled and excavated got actually brought to this site and deposited. So the elevation of this site, this orange line that cuts through, is a contour line that is at elevation 674. You can see that is 1 foot above the expected water elevation of 673. So the reality on the ground would tell us that the water is going to get to 673 feet. It will be short of this orange line, which is at 674 feet. So everything south of this orange line is above the expected flood elevation. When someone wants to develop in a floodplain, they have to protect and elevate the structures. One way to do that is to bring in fill so that your ground is above the expected water level. That has obviously been done in this case. So that's part of what leads to the situation we're in tonight. The history of the property, so it was undeveloped open space from the 1930s until 2014. It was zoned light industrial in 1995. And as I mentioned, a lot of that fill was placed in the late 90s during the construction of the Coral Ridge Mall in that area. The fill raised the natural elevation of the ground on the site from between 672 at the north end, right closest to the stream, to almost 680 feet on the south end, farthest away from the stream. So the majority of the site is above the 673 water elevation. The property was platted as part of River Products Industrial Park subdivision in 2015, and this property did receive site plan approval in both 2016 and 2017, and the three structures on site were constructed between 2017 and the end of 2018. There's an office building, a batch plant, and then this hopper pit that's also connected to an office building. It's important to note that all of the above ground structures are not being considered here because they are all in compliance. They were built on fill. They're treated as reasonably safe from flooding per FEMA's standards because they're elevated above the expected water level. This pit is special because it is below ground. So it goes below where that water level would be expected. So some details on this request. It's a 19 foot deep pit. Is located within the mapped flood hazard area. The structure does already exist. It was issued building permits, but not a floodplain permit at the time. Staff was working off information provided by the engineer that showed the flood elevation based on the elevation of the land, not based on the map. We had the assumption that the property had been removed from the regulatory floodplain through FEMA, but that had not been done after the fill was placed, so that's why the buildings were constructed without going through this process at that time. And as mentioned, this request only applies to the hopper, not to the buildings.
I might be jumping ahead, but did they ever request a change of flood map?
They're in the process. So that's what brought this to our attention.
But it didn't happen beforehand.
Correct. Okay. So usually when the fill is placed, the applicant will tell FEMA, hey, we brought in some fill. This is a new elevation. An engineer certifies and says, yes, this is your elevation. FEMA says, great, that's no longer subject to flood risk. Take it out of the floodplain. You don't need permits. You don't need a variance like this. None of that applies. That was never done between the fill being placed and the development being started, even though everyone worked off the elevations showing that the water is going to stop at that north edge at that 674. So it's basically a bit of an administrative mix-up on what was done on site, what's actually on site, and what FEMA thinks is done on site. So we're just trying to correct that and get everything put back together. So the flood protection, as I mentioned, you can elevate either by building your structure up on this crawl space or on piers, or you can bring in fill and put it on the ground and elevate your structure that way. The flood elevation is 673. State code's minimum flood protection is 674. So they go with the FEMA number plus 1 foot. The natural pit, the top of the pit is at between 680 and 685. So we're talking about 6 to 11 feet higher on the ground than the water is expected to get. And the bottom of the hopper pit floor is what we have to look at with this request, because that's the lowest elevation of what they constructed. That is at 661 feet. So the water comes to 673, you go up another 6 feet to get to the top of the pit, but then the pit comes down 19 feet below where that water line would. So this is where we get a little different on our criteria. The review evaluation for hardship evaluation for a floodplain is not the three questions that Luke outlined. There are 6 applicable standards, 12 factors to consider, and 5 other considerations if the board chooses to assign conditions. And then once this is all done, we have to send it off to the DNR and they review and grant a concurrence, basically stating that this was appropriate. To save having to go through the several pages of conditions, we'll summarize to say that staff feels this request complies with all applicable standards and factors to be considered to qualify for the variance. We do not feel that any conditions are necessary on this variance. The reasoning and the answer for each review hardship evaluation criteria and standard is outlined in the staff report. So if you guys want to go through any of those in detail, we can pull up the staff report. They generally apply to preserving the ability of floodwaters to flow, not increasing damage downstream, not contaminating waters, those kind of things, not threatening public health and safety. It should be noted that the structure we're talking about is entirely subgrade, so there's no concern about increased flood height or any materials being washed downstream. If the pit does happen to fill with water, everything's staying in the pit. And the grade of the site will protect all the equipment from surface inundation, because as we talked about, the natural grade at the top of the pit is already 7 feet above the expected water level. So in conclusion, the variance is needed to correct this administrative oversight. The applicant has applied for the letter of map revision to change the flood maps. To get that, they need a community acknowledgement. We will not give the community acknowledgement until they have their floodplain permit. We cannot issue a floodplain permit unless they have a variance. So this variance will lead to the chain of them being able to apply to have the property removed from the floodplain and acknowledge the fill on site as reasonable protection from that base flood event. As mentioned, the structure is entirely below grade, so we don't expect any impact of flood flows or flood storage. The natural elevation between the source of flooding and the top of the pit is about 7 feet above that base flood elevation. And the applicant has also retained a structural engineer who has reviewed the pit to make sure that saturated soils during a flood event, the extra pressure would not collapse the pit. So it's designed structurally to withstand other hydrostatic and subsurface flood forces. And structural engineers from MMS have provided certification that this complies with FEMA's technical requirements for subsurface flood resistant construction. So with all of that, staff recommends approval of application BOA 1927723 for a floodplain variance to allow the lowest floor of Building C to be constructed to an elevation of 661 feet above sea level, subject to the variance receiving concurrence or approval from the Iowa DNR.
Any questions?
And if the DNR doesn't concur, what happens to them?
They will probably kick it back to us, and it'll be up to the applicant how they want to move forward to pursue that letter of map revision based on fill. If they do not concur, there would be a specific reason, and then we would likely work to address that.
My only concerns about it would be the possibility of contaminants because of the flood.
Right.
But I don't think they don't produce a lot of contaminants.
No. So this
on the site. So I would rely on the DNR's report.
Yep.
If they're okay with it, I am.
Yeah, the material on site in this pit is going to be sand and gravel that comes out of the quarry to the south, which is already active floodplain. So in the event of a flood, that quarry is going to be underwater, so the same stuff that will be coming out of there will be coming out of here.
So even if the pit has seepage, it won't hurt anything. I mean, if it seeps and fills or does whatever. there's nothing in that pit that's harmful.
So in the past, they had the same situation. This is from the owners of the batch plant. At their former location, they had a similar hopper pit. The hopper pit filled with water during the flood of 2008. They had to wait for the flood waters to recede. Once they receded, they just simply started back up. That was that.
Right.
So they pump it out. And
yeah, so the machinery down there is essentially mechanical screens and metal tubing that the sand and gravel falls through. So there's no chemicals involved. There's electrical service. In that situation Josh highlighted, they just cut the service when the National Weather Service said flood water was coming, let it dry out, had an electrician check all the motors and panels, replace anything that needed replaced, and started right back up. So it's a relatively low impact on the environment, for sure.
And just to clarify, all of this is retroactive permitting. There's nothing new that they're proposing.
Correct.
This is just things
all in place.
Permitted.
Yep. Yeah, so, and if they had gone through the letter of map revision process prior to beginning construction, none of this would have even been needed. It's considered not in the floodplain.
Right.
They could dig the pit. They don't need any protections.
I guess.
And the fill situation that would have allowed them to get out pre-construction is still in place now.
And I guess that was my only question is if this would even be, if they get that letter of flood map revision, this is totally unnecessary.
This essentially goes away because they're no longer in the floodplain.
Whether we give a variance or not, and they have done that application process.
Yeah.
Now
that's what brought this to our attention.
Okay.
They asked for community acknowledgement.
Okay.
And we were confused why they needed acknowledgement when we thought they weren't the floodplain.
I see.
So as we dug into it,
so they were trying to do the right thing.
Yes.
Or at least.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cover,
and that's what brought
cover,
it to
yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense to me.
Cover all the bases.
Any other questions for staff? Would anyone like to speak on behalf of the applicant? Seeing none.
I would just suggest that whoever makes the motion simply recite the staff recommended language up there.
Okay.
I move to approve application BOA 19-27723 for floodplain variance to allow lowest floor of building C to be constructed to an elevation of 661 feet above sea level, subject to variance receiving concurrent or approval from the Iowa DNR.
We have a second.
Second.
All right, new discussion. I think the staff did a great job in their report outlining all five factors and 12 conditions or whatever it is. I think it doesn't harm anybody. I think it's just sort of a stopgap until they get the proper stuff through FEMA. So, roll call. Unless anyone else wants to say anything. Roll call.
Evans?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Leifers?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye. The variance application BOA 1827723, the Hawkeye Ready Mix, is approved. Is that anyone? Do we have any other?
Eric, one more thing on that. This is a great example of where you mentioning the content of the staff report, particularly because staff didn't go through it, acknowledges that the board was aware of that content, those recommended findings and conclusions that then are the basis for your ultimate decision. As we've talked about in the past, you guys are a deciding body and you base your decisions upon the evidence that's presented. So it's a good practice and I would encourage you guys to continue to do that.
All right. Do we have any other
yes.
items?
So there's one deferred application. This was a known deferral that runs through April, so that'll be back up next month.
Okay.
And speaking of next month, we anticipate having 10 applications before you guys. So this one deferred, and then several others. Several of them are some of the annual things we see every year, but there are some variances and new home business things. So. With that in mind, was going to see if the board would entertain possibly starting a little earlier than 5:30, if possible, just because we know we'll have a lot to get through. It doesn't need to be decided right now, but we'll kind of put a bug in your ear and
be fine with me.
We'll
fine.
Send out a note.
Fine with me. Josh is bringing snacks, right?
Just like that day.
Eric's the only.
How early were you thinking?
So it's going to be up to you. As chair, you can come decide.
What power?
Basically, so we don't need to start early. It's really just a, you know, trying to make sure we're not here till 2:30.
I have a problem getting here by earlier than 5 o'clock.
So would 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock would be okay, yeah, but.
And that's probably, that wouldn't probably be too much for the applicants to adjust to.
So a lot of the, so five of the applications are from two individuals. They have multiple, like the annual special event permits, home business, seasonal event. So we'll kind of get to one property and talk about it for three different considerations, and then some other ones are individual. But we will plan to set public hearing and start at 5 o'clock.
That works for everybody.
We will organize our agenda such that the item deferred tonight until 5:30 occurs after 5:30 and put it towards the end. And that way we make sure we stay in conformance with that. Ryan, that doesn't give you any heartburn.
Say that again.
So they deferred an application tonight until 5:30 p.m.
Yeah.
On April
17th. As long as that one's after the 5:30 and that the notice for that, whatever start time for next month, as long as the notice says it for that, we're fine on those. You're right. The deferred application was to a specific time, and as long as it happens after that, that's good.
Okay. That was all I had.
All right. With that, there's no other business. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
So Terry, after a 30-minute meeting, I think you'll appreciate last week.